March 23rd, drunk dialing, Rodney to the rescue, the great outdoors. John Rodney, PG for Penson, 1,400 words. Equinox. Rodney, Shepard says in his ear, I've fallen and I can't get it up. He giggles. Rodney frowns and keys his radio. Shepard, where are you? Drunk, says Shepard. And lost, he adds, sounding sad and confused. The flowers are talking to me. Hold on, stay right where you are. But I don't know where I am, Shepard wails. You're somewhere within walking distance of the Athosian settlement. I'm coming to find you. He pauses and amends his statement. Taylor and I are coming to find you. Keep your radio on. Okay, Shepard says. Taylor, forbidden from helping to prepare the food, is playing a game with the younger children, trampling the grass down in what looks like a cross between follow the leader and hopscotch. Dr. McKay, she brushes the hair away from her face and smiles at him in greeting. The kids bump into her from behind and fall over like dominoes, giggling and shrieking. Taylor picks one of the smaller ones up and swings it around, then settles it on her hip. We are learning to track the dreaded Noor. Would you care to join us? In Rodney's ear, Shepard's singing about a boy named Sue. Much fun as that sounds, I need your help locating Colonel Shepard. He seems to have drunkenly wandered off. I didn't wander off, Shepard says, petulant. I had to pee, and then I got tired, and now I'm lost. Taylor puts the child down. Pin, it is your turn to be the leader. Do you remember the rules?
No biting,
Pin says. That is a very important rule, Taylor agrees. Do you remember the others? Lost in the woods, Shepard segues into a Beach Boys song, possibly several Beach Boys songs. Do shum ram o bo bop barbaran. Rodney turns the volume down on his radio. If he wanted drunken karaoke, he would have stayed in the labs with Zelenka. Taylor finally steps away from the kid and slips her sandals back on. Where did you last see the colonel? She asks. I don't know. He was over bullshitting with Harling and Ronan, and then the teen girl squad brought him a mug of that grog he knows he's not supposed to drink. And now he's lost and says the flowers are talking to him. Taylor cocks her head. Ask him to describe the flowers. Rodney turns his radio up again. Shepard, these talking flowers, what do they look like? They're pretty, Shepard says. That's great, Rodney tells him. What color are they? Like fruit punch, only curly. Rodney groans. They're never going to find Shepard. He's going to be beaten by Noors while singing Bob Dylan badly, and Rodney's going to have to listen to it all over the radio. Dr. McKay? Tindler touches his arm lightly. I think they're bright red and curly. Do you know what he's talking about? She smiles. I do. They are harmless. My people use them to make a tea for those who cannot sleep. There is a field not far from here. There's actually a path worn through the grasses, and at the end is Shepard, lying in a patch of flowering green vines and singing to himself. He has been here for some time, Taylor says. He will need to be extracted from the creeper. Shepard perks up at her voice. Rodney! Taylor! Are you lost too? You are so drunk, Rodney tells him. No, Shepard says, shaking his head, a very serious look on his face. The vines move with him. Rodney stares at the plant. Wait, what do you mean extracted? The vines creep during the late afternoon. Colonel Shepard has become entangled. Creep, Shepard says, fingers climbing up the leg of Rodney's pants. He could easily free himself, were he not already affected by drink. Taylor bends down to demonstrate, slowly unwinding a creeper from around Shepard's hand. The flowers give off a chemical that relaxes its prey. Prey? You said they were harmless. They are, Taylor says calmly. They eat only insects and small rodents, and they do not eat at night. If we had not found him, Colonel Shepherd would have woken up in the morning, lying in a wet field and feeling very foolish. Shepherd grins up at them from the ground. Some of the vines are creeping through his hair, giving him a crown of dark red trumpet flowers. Rodney sighs. You look like a fairy.
That's not a very nice thing to say,
Shepherd pouts.
A fairy, Rodney says. You've got flowers in your hair, and you're practically an elf already with those ears. Didn't they make you read Shakespeare in high school?
Rodney sighs again. You are such a pain in my ass.
Oh, what fools these mortals be,
Shepherd says. I can assist you in freeing him if you like, Taylor offers, looking amused. Rodney waves her off.
No, go back to the party. I'll do it.
Please be gentle, Taylor says. If you damage the creepers, the plant may stop blooming, but the vines will move with you if you go slowly.
Sure,
Rodney says, crouching next to Shepherd and turning his radio off.
This may take a while.
Taylor nods. I have my radio, should you need me. She leaves, and Rodney sits down and stares at Shepherd's familiar face, the fine lines around his eyes, his soft and easy grin.
Maybe I'll just leave you here, huh?
Oh, Rodney. You remember what happened last time you drank that grog?
No,
says Shepherd. You don't remember the naked dancing? Shepherd makes his "you're making me uncomfortable" face.
I bet you remember the alien mosquitoes, though, and I'm pretty damn sure you remember me telling you not to do that again. What were you thinking?
Ronan had some, too, Shepherd says.
Ronan's not a cheap drunk.
Shepherd pouts.
Kiss me. Changing the subject won't help. You're ensnared by a carnivorous flowering vine. Just think about that for a while.
Shepherd's eyebrows draw together, and Rodney moves down to his feet and starts to unwind him from the creepers. The vines move like computer cords that have been coiled for a while, stiff but yielding. Except they don't feel like wire. They feel alive, organic, and sinuous, and every time Rodney nudges a creeper away, it gives off a sweet green scent like cucumbers. Rodney patiently uncurls each creeper from Shepherd's feet and legs, slowly working his way up Shepherd's body. Shepherd, now over his moment of angst, is back to grinning and humming to himself, and Rodney smiles at him indulgently. It takes him an hour to free Shepherd, and by the end of that time Rodney's feeling good, happy with himself and the world, and with Shepherd.
Sorry I'm stupid,
Shepherd says.
I'm sorry you're stupid too,
Rodney says, rolling Shepherd over until it's clear of the vines, and then climbing on top of him. Shepherd's always been a lazy kisser, but this is slow, slow like the movement of the vines, like biology, like trees fighting for sunlight. It lasts for 100 years, more. The sun falls into the ocean, and they kiss like it's the last kiss the world will ever see.
Hmm,
says Rodney, feeling a tug around his ankle. Then,
son of a bitch!
He sits up and finds the vine has stretched out a single creeper and attached itself to his leg.
Oh, no, you don't.
Shepherd grumbles, but Rodney gets them both upright and moving drunkenly down the path back to the settlement. The Athosians have built the fire up, and Ronan's dancing around it, barefoot, shaking his dreads and chewing on the leg of some dead barbecued beast. Taylor's still with the kids, spooning beans onto their plates, and making sure everyone gets their own sweet bun. Simpson and Cadman are drinking with the girls. Two of the gate techs are making out behind a log. There are other expedition members scattered among the Athosians, some Rodney knows and some he doesn't, but he smiles at them anyway, and he and John stand in line for dinner, leaning against each other and waiting for sunset.